Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The title for today's message is, Are You Suffering? By the way, if not, by the end of the sermon, you may be. The text is taken from today's epistles reading, 1 Peter chapter 4 and 5. Let me read chapter 4, verses 12 to 13 one more time. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. The sermon outline is on your handout paper. Are you suffering? Are you suffering because you bear the name of Jesus? Let's first go back to the days of Peter. Crucifixions took place very frequently through the entire Roman Empire. It was punishment reserved for the worst criminals. In those trying days, the emperor and the king claimed to be a god. Imagine what it was like for the apostles to preach that this Jesus of Nazareth, though despised, cursed, and crucified, was the true God and offered everyone eternal life. It was not easy to be a Christian at that time. Remember, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Harold preached of the first Christian martyr, Stephen, who was stoned by his Christian faith. Peter himself was also be crucified. But it is no easier to be a true Christian now. Is it easy to suffer? Is it easy to be tried severely as if by fire? Is it easy to be insulted? To have my name dragged in the mud? Is it easy to resist the devil when he comes to me with the same temptations with which he enticed unbelievers? Maybe to me even more. It is not easy. Today in many countries, Christians face persecution and even death penalty. In Canada, even though we have freedom of religion, we may, in one way or another, suffer for our faith. St. Peter tells us, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Today, we all witnessed God's grace upon Ian, Nina, Walter, and Brittany in their baptism. Also, we will soon welcome our new members into our church family. Through holy baptism, we receive lasting gifts. Our sins are forgiven, and we have the salvation that Christ won for us on the cross. But at the same time, as God's children, we carry the Christ name. Jesus tells us very straight that in this world, His name will bring us suffering. In John 15, Jesus says, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know Him who sent me. Think about how the world treated Jesus, its Savior. He was mocked, scorned, and rejected. He was arrested, condemned, and crucified for being the Savior of this world. In all his suffering and death, he remained without sin. God used that for good, to deliver you from sin to everlasting life. However, always remember how the world treated and still treats the Savior, Jesus Christ. And if the world treats Jesus this way, it will treat his people the same. Jesus didn't say, "They may persecute you." Jesus said, "They will persecute you." It's certain. This comes as no surprise. Each of you baptized today and each of you become new members, get ready. You will experience difficulties because of your faith. As you go about your life as a Christian, you should expect trials and suffering along the way. It may be society accusation that you are narrow-minded for keeping to the word of God, or that you are intolerant for proclaiming that Jesus is the only way to heaven. It may be the awkward conversation with family or friends who have different beliefs, who are less than pleased with the confession of faith on which you stand. It may be your sinful flesh persuading you to question God's promises, or it may be the struggle with teaching that you were deeply ingrained in your youth. But if you are one who, by the grace of God, follows Jesus, you can expect to be misunderstood, falsely accused, mocked, and rejected. As the world treated Jesus, so it will also treat you. And how should we respond? Peter tells us not to be surprised, but be prepared and rejoice in the trials you suffer for being a Christian. He proclaims, "Rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. This is the confirmation that you are the Lord's, and that the Lord counts you worthy to suffer for his name." Suffering and the fiery trial hurt, and during such times, peace is hard to find. Therefore, humble yourself and submit to the Lord. Confess to him your sins and doubts, and give thanks that he consider you worthy to suffer for his name. And ask St. Peter, "Be on guard and resist the devil, because he prowls around like a lion, ready to devour you, and he wants to devour you by making you suffer until you reject your Savior." Devil's tricks are many. Perhaps the most obvious is this. He tries to make you so miserable that you leave the Lord and his gift behind. He persuades you that the blessings of God are not worth your present suffering. This is a very effective torture that he seeks to impose and be warned. Your sinful flesh will want the pain to stop. It will want you to give up life in the hope that death is easier. or your old Adam may instead work pride in you, so that you heartily believe that you don't deserve such treatment and need to find a Savior who makes your life easier. Either way, it's the devil's goal to get you away from Jesus. Another snare of the devil is to make you believe that you earn God's favor by how much you suffer, so that when you suffer enough, God will finally love you. One example is the picture you see during the Holy Week of the people in Philippines who submit to crucifixion in order to take part in Jesus' suffering and earn God's love by doing so. It may not be so blatant in your own mind, but you will be tempted to believe that God must love you more if you suffer more for being His. This is sin, because it says that you are saved in part of your own work of suffering, not only by what Jesus has done. In this respect, suffering is the devil's attempt to make you trust in yourself, not in Christ. As long as we speak of the old Adam, we remember Peter's other warning. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Your own Adam will tempt you to take God's forgiveness lightly by believing that you can commit sins and avoid the consequences. When you sin, the Lord may allow you to face temporal punishment for your sins. In such cases, you will suffer. But this is not God's policing suffering. It's simply suffering because you chose to sin and invited these troubles on yourself. Dear friends, this text does not tell you to seek out suffering. Simply go about the callings that God has given you. Trust in the Lord, and by His grace, stand up for what is right and defend the truth. Even as you do so, as you mind your own business, you will suffer enough. Yes, you know better. While suffering will come in this life, it's neither your way of earning salvation or a proof of God's lack of love. Suffering is simply what happens in this sinful world. It happens to everyone, believer or not. So if we must suffer, let us do for the sake of Jesus, our Savior. For this is your salvation. For your sin in which you were born, you face only the prospect of suffering God's eternal wrath and judgment. But so that you may be saved, Jesus Christ took on flesh and blood just like you to go to the cross and died for your sins. He suffered rejection by the world as men had him arrested, beaten, and crucified. But even more, he suffered God's rejection on the cross, as his Father condemned him for all the sins of the entire world, for all of your sins too. Now he's risen from the dead, risen to give you forgiveness and life. For all of the times that you sin and thus deserve God's fiery trial, Jesus declares that he has suffered and died to deliver you. So how do we partake in Christ's suffering? He shares them with you in his word. in the sacrament of holy baptism and the holy communion in this altar. He declares, I have gone to the cross for your sin. Now, along with the forgiveness, I gave you the fruit of my suffering, so that you will not be condemned for your sins. To share in his suffering means to gladly receive forgiveness, because there Jesus shares his suffering with you. Listen to what Jesus says in John 16. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do not think it strange that you suffer for being a Christian in this world. For if you are delivered from eternal suffering, the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh will do their best to trouble you while they still have time. No, do not think it strange, and remember the words of St. Paul. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That glory is yours for the sake of Jesus, who suffered, died, and rose again for you. Even as you suffer, you do so with the hope of God's favor and everlasting life. Someone once asked C.S. Lewis, the famous Christian author, why do the righteous suffer? Why not? He replied, they are the only ones who can take it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We worship.